It's Thursday, November 8th. Welcome to the NBA podcast with Corey Craig. I am your host, Corey Craig. We're talking about a lot of action from around the league. Let's get to talking some hoops. In case you missed it the other night, Denver and Boston played an exciting game where Boston took the loss, and Denver obviously took the win. Murray had a huge 48-point game, almost hit 50 points towards the end of the game. He hoisted up a three-point shot, missed it, you know, tried to hit 50. Kyrie Irving, very angry after the game. We did talk about it on a previous podcast in a bit more detail, but the drama with that is continuing with Kyrie. He said it was thirsty of a player to try and hit 50 points at the end of a game. And my stance remains the same of, why not? Why not try and hit 50? If you're close to it, if you're at 48, just try and hit it. Basketball's a fun, exciting game. The fans are there to be entertained. Why not play the last minute? Why not try and get a good shot off? Jamal Murray, his career high for the guy. He's probably not going to have many more high-scoring games of, 48 points. It's, probably might be the only chance he gets this season to hit 50 points, so why not try and go for it? What's worse, trying to hit 50 or the guy who complains about it days after the game? And, I get that he's being asked questions by reporters about it, but he could just not answer or move on, deflect the question. But Kyrie's into it. And probably just a little sore over the loss. Denver to beat them 115 to 107. But let Jamal Murray have his time to shine. He really took away from it. Murray had a great game, great 48-point game. I don't think him trying to hit a basket at the end to get 50 points sullies his success in that game or how strong he was. But definitely, Kyrie Irving, stop taking away from this guy. Just let Jamal Murray have his time to shine and his 48-point game. More drama in Boston. Terry Rozier possibly wants out. Upset about his playing time, wants more minutes, becoming a free agent this summer. Does Gary Terry want out? Apparently there's seven teams interested in him. Terry Rozier said he's not sure where the report about his frustration came from. He did say he's happy. Is quoted as saying, "People that know me know that I would never do that." Rozier smiled when asked about the seven teams, who said, when a reporter asked, said seven teams are interested in me, he said, "That's how it should be. It should be more." And then he had another little quote where he was like, "I'm just blessed to be putting on this uniform, represent this organization every day, so I have no complaints." And I'm happy to be in the position where I'm at, to be playing on a team that's mentioned to have a chance to be in the championship. So not really that worried about what's being said. Terry Rozier, does he want out of Boston? Does he want more minutes? Boston right now, they're 6-4, which puts them third in the East. It's a low third. They're 6-4. Right now, when you look at the other teams in the East, Toronto 11-1, Milwaukee 8-2. So four games from behind first place. When you look at Terry Rozier this season, he's having a decent kind of season for a guy of his talent. When you look at him, he's hasn't started any games this year, but he's averaged about 7.5 points a game, 8.2 assists, playing 22 minutes. So it's a good chunk of the game. He may not be happy with his performance, but his minutes are still solid minutes, maybe getting less now that, Gordon Hayward's back and Kyrie's back, maybe not as much playing time as he was before. And this report, I saw it first from Bill Russell, yesterday evening. Bill Russell, Bill Simmons. I wish Bill Russell tweeted though. Bill Simmons from The Ringer tweeted about it, and I mean he's a big Boston guy, a big Boston fan, so maybe he does have some insight there. Of course, Rozier is going to say, "No, I don't want out." He's a smart player. It's the smart political move. When this report happens, you know, you're still with the team. You're not a free agent until the summer. There's a lot of time left. You know, if you're suddenly like, yeah, I do want out, it could all be a front too for the journalists. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to air his laundry out in the open, but maybe inside the locker room and in the coach's ear, the GM's ear, he's like, you know, I do want out. I want to get out of here. Who knows what's going to happen with Terry Rozier? I don't see Boston trading him. If he leaves in the summer, it's not like it's Kyrie or Gordon Hayward leaving. Is Terry Rozier talented? Yes. Huge storyline? Not really. What is huge? Atlanta and Dallas played the other night. Not each other, but they both had games, which means we're on rookie watch. Trae Young for Atlanta Hawks. Luka Doncic playing for the Dallas Mavericks. Two young, exciting rookies, both being considered early candidates for Rookie of the Years. Both of their teams now sitting with similar records after their games the other night. And yeah, Atlanta played Miami, won 123-118. Atlanta now 3-8. And Dallas, same record, 3-8 now. Both teams. So the question is, who got the upper hand in Atlanta's game? Trae Young here. Solid game from the young guy, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists. Luka Doncic in his game, the Mavs beat the Washington Wizards 119-100. Wizards struggling. Dallas not much better, really struggling. I think a lot of people thought Dallas were going to do better than they were this year, and they're just not. Luka had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and that's an interesting thing to think about in this Rookie of the Year race. And yes, there's other guys who definitely should be considered, especially, you know, Marvin Bagley III playing for the Kings. You know I love the Kings here on the NBA podcast. But Luka Doncic, probably the most ready NBA player when he was drafted. You know, he played in Europe professionally. He was an all-star. He was an MVP. Trae Young coming out of college had a great first half. Then everyone was like, oh, we know what this guy does. He just shoots really long threes. And had a terrible second half of his college season. So I think a lot of people thought that Luka was going to really give life to Dallas and, you know, possibly make them a playoff contender and maybe be Dirk's last hurrah. Who knows? And Dallas just kind of been floundering. They're bottom of the West right now, only above a few teams in the Western Conference. And by a few, I mean one in the Phoenix Suns. They're 14th right now. Again, 3-8 is their record. And I think everyone expected the Hawks to be terrible, which they're not great. They're 12th right now in the Eastern Conference at 3-8. But this could bode well for Trae Young in terms of his race to win Rookie of the Year. And the fact that people thought Dallas were going to be, I'm not going to say great, but they thought they were going to be maybe good or an average team. And they're just not. People didn't have high expectations for Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. And he's performing well. Trey's currently averaging 19 points and 8 assists a game, which no one under 21 years has ever averaged those numbers. And those kind of little stats are kind of a bit silly, but it is interesting to see what he's doing for his team at such a young age. He's doing so well. Dirk talked about Doncic after their most recent game in an interview, talking about, you know, interviewer had asked, you know, they both came from Europe, get a little comparison. And Dirk had said, I didn't have that confidence, that swag when I got into the league. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it in this league. But this guy this guy comes here basically knowing he's going to make it in the league, and that's how he carries himself on the court. No fear. And Doncic is playing a great brand of basketball right now. I think the record that Dallas has isn't indicative of how well he's been playing, because he's started well this season. I mean, keep in mind, he is a rookie. Yes, he did play professional in Europe, but getting used to the NBA is a whole other monster. He's averaging 20.2 points a game, 4.2 assists per game, 6.5 rebounds, and he's just shooting the ball well too. 47% from the field, 40% from the three, 76% from the free throw line. And he's a guy who can, you know, he's listed as a point guard, but he can play forward. Maybe he's not getting the assists that Trae Young is, but he's putting up a few more points, and he's not always playing the point as much as Trae Young is as well. And Trae, I mean, he gets into the paint a lot, kind of gets in trouble and dishes out. Luka, not so much. Has a two different styles of basketball are being played here. Who knows what's going to continue on with the season? But early on, I'm giving the upper hand right now to Trae Young, simply for the fact that both teams, while they have the same record, I think people expected less of the Hawks, and the Hawks are giving more. People expected more of Dallas, and Dallas just isn't giving fans what they expected. Time to talk about a team that we don't talk much about in the Miami Heat. Got to give the Miami Heat some love here. If you haven't seen what the new city jerseys by Nike look like, give the Miami Heats a peek. The Vice City jerseys are gorgeous. I hate that this is a podcast and I can't just show you, but let me pause for 5 seconds so you can quickly go search it. That should really be all the time you need right there. Like, you should be looking at it right now. If you're listening on, you know, your phone, just open up Google Chrome, take a sneak peek. But we're not just here to talk about how gorgeous Miami's jerseys are and the Vice City jerseys. We got to talk about Hassan Whiteside kind of having a mediocre season, lackluster start, not a great summer. And recently the Heat beat the Spurs and Whiteside just dominated in the game. 29 points, 20 rebounds, 9 blocks. Huge game for the young man. Just you wonder if where this kind of wave of motivation came from, if it's going to be a difference maker for Miami. Miami right now 5-5, which puts them 7th in the Eastern Conference. They beat San Antonio 95-88 the other night, and Whiteside just had a crazy, crazy game. Also in that game, DeMar DeRozan, 18 points, 14 rebounds himself. So, I mean, San Antonio is no pushover either. I would say that they're the better team than Miami, but not the other night. Miami pulling that through. And that's a team that we don't talk about much. Perhaps a reoccurring segment on the NBA podcast. Keep listening. It's the only way to find out if it's going to still be around. Moving on to one of the worst teams in the NBA. The only team worse than them is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that's the Phoenix Suns. We got some D-Book drama going on. Booker, Devin Booker, does he want out of San Antonio? Booker said he's done with not getting in the playoffs. Said he's, you know, basically tired of not making the playoffs. This is going to be the last year they don't make the playoffs. They're definitely not getting there this year. So you can be sick of it all you want, but you're 2-8. So you're going to have one heck of a season to turn it around. Tyson Chandler just left. I don't know where you're going, Phoenix, to get all these wins from. But D-Book said, you know, he's done with not getting to the playoffs. And he was also quoted as saying that he'd love to play with D'Angelo Russell, currently playing for the Brooklyn Nets. When I first read this quote by Devin Booker, I was like, oh, is he going to ask for a trade? Is he going to try and get out of Phoenix? Which, why wouldn't you? Phoenix right now, 2-8, 15th in the Western Conference. They haven't been great the past couple of seasons. It's been a long, long time since they've made the playoffs. And then I realized that Devin Booker recently signed a 5-year, $158 million contract. So there's no way the Suns are letting him go. So now the question is, can they build around him? Do they have the assets to maybe make some trades? They're going to finish in the bottom of the West this year. I have no doubt about that. Sorry, Suns fans. It's just not looking good for you early on. So there is a chance they get, you know, perhaps a first overall pick in the NBA draft coming up in the summer. You take a guy like Zion Williamson. I think he's a lock right now to be number one pick. I think he's been a lock to be a first overall pick since his highlights started popping up from his AAU days. He's now playing for Duke. Duke had a huge first game against Kentucky. He looked good. He looked dominant. Teams are already saying he's going to be the first overall pick. This is after one college game. So there is a chance that, you know, Phoenix makes a move for him if they get that first overall pick. If not, can they really trade anyone away? I mean, they have the young talent in Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Those guys are locks. They're going to be the future. You don't really have anyone else on that team. I mean, Trevor Ariza, not going anywhere. Isaiah Cannon, not going anywhere. Like TJ Warren, you're not going to get much for these guys. So you're going to have to start building through the draft, similar to, you know, what we've seen in Philadelphia. Because I don't think Devin Booker's getting out of there. So if they're going to make the playoffs, if he really wants to make the playoffs, yes, start stressing on the team to either start putting up some money in free agency, or he's going to have to be patient, because if they have to go rebuild through the draft, they're going to be 3 to 4 seasons before they start seeing the playoffs, before they start seeing some payoffs. And then 3 to 4 seasons, he's coming up towards the end of his contract. Does he even stay for, you know, season 5, season 6? And Phoenix, not a huge free agency market either. I mean, not a lot of guys like, yeah, I want to go play in Phoenix, especially when you finished, you know, the bottom of the West the past few seasons. I mean, guys want to win. When they go to a team, that's what they want to go for. They want to get the W's, or they want to get the money. And Phoenix paid Devin Booker a ton of money, so not a whole lot they're going to be able to offer new players. So we'll see what transpires with Devin Booker. We'll see what these comments were about. But with that 5-year, $158 million contract, he's not leaving Phoenix. I would be very surprised if they were able to unload him. Keeping it in the West, last night, a couple exciting games. One main game that I definitely want to look at is Minnesota and LA. Now, LA got the win, 114-110. But an interesting stat line from this game was Karl Anthony Towns went 0-for-6 from the field when guarded by Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler recently left the Phoenix Suns, got a buyout, signed with LA, and this is exactly why LA got this guy. He is a defensive machine. Chandler's got some years on him for sure. He's not going to give you a lot of points, but his defensive ability is a huge gain for them. Not a lot of post presence in LA. I mean, you had Kyle Kuzma and LeBron James in the post, JaVale McGee, kind of their big players. But now you have Tyson Chandler coming. He's got the size, he's got the strength, and he's got the experience. And he showed it last night when you played against Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns just couldn't do anything against him. And this is going to be the difference maker for LA. And I knew this was huge when it happened. He's a big get. I mean, you think, oh, Tyson Chandler, really? Like, I didn't even realize this guy is still even playing basketball. I mean, this is a guy who was drafted back in 2001, but he's 36 years old. But he's also 7'1", 240 pounds. and he's not going to get probably a ton of minutes for the Lakers, but I think when they're playing a dominant post team or a team with a solid big man, that you're going to see Chandler get some time on the court. You know, when they're playing, you know, Minnesota, like we saw with Karl Anthony Towns, when they're playing New Orleans with Anthony Davis, when they're playing Toronto with Serge Ibaka, this is what we're going to see LA use. And this is a huge gain for the team. Just a small little acquisition of, you know, 36-year-old Tyson Chandler. Things are starting to come together for LA. This may be what helps them turn around, because they've been struggling on the defense. They've had no problem scoring the ball. Since the beginning of the season, LA has put up I don't think there's been a game that they've scored under 100 points. They've been playing extremely, extremely well on the offensive side of the ball. They move the ball well. They get up and down the court very quickly. They're fourth right now in pace. They're scoring a lot of points, but their defensive rating even now is 23rd. So they're the bottom of the league, but you add a guy like Tyson Chandler, and now maybe teams aren't running all over you in the post like they were before. It's not just teams getting to the paint. And also LeBron and Kuz aren't getting worn out trying to guard the other team's bigs. So huge game by LA. You know, we'll see if this is kind of a difference maker for them. It's worked out so far in this game. Then they play Sacramento, Atlanta, and Portland. And then Orlando is the next four-game stretch. So they got wins against the Kings and the Hawks. Maybe they finally get their mojo back in another game against, you know, Portland, Orlando. They could win those games. LA's now got to turn it around. Currently at 5-6, you know, this could take them to 9-6. You take a look at the standings in the Western Conference. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the other teams, but you give them 9 wins, now they're suddenly, you know, up in that playoff area. Depending on how, you know, Sacramento, OKC, and the Clippers play. Speaking of OKC real quick, they started off the season terribly, but have since gone on. Right earlier, there was a 6-game winning streak. Yeah, 6 games they've won. They've turned things around real quick. They've had some easy games. You know, they recently got a win against Cleveland, but those are the games you need to kind of get things back into focus. You're playing a team that you know you're better than. You get the offense working, people get situated. Russell Westbrook's looking a lot more comfortable as of late. But back to LA, Minnesota. One more last piece on that game. Derrick Rose, 31 points on 7-for-9 three-pointers. Derrick Rose had the huge game the other night. You know, I always make the joke about Derrick Rose having a new set of knees, but he is just playing ridiculously well as of late. Don't know what it is, what he's done, but Derrick Rose, resurgence. Also, one other silly stat from that LA game, Josh Hart, 21 points in 21 minutes on 7 shots. How good is this guy? That's just silly numbers right there. Keeping it in the West a little, but still moving on to the East. We got to talk about the Raptors. First time ever they went on a kind of Western Conference trip. They had 4 games in the West, all the way games, won every single one of them, 4-0 in the West. They're now going back home to their comfort zone to get a few home wins under their belt, hopefully. But the first time ever that they've gone, you know, into the West and won every single one of the games. So this Raptors team we're seeing, I mean, the Raptors in the past, you know, 2 or 3 seasons have been great. They've been high in the Eastern Conference. They've really turned things around from the Raptors that we knew in the, you know, early 2000s, late 90s. This Raptors team is for real. And now that they're back in the East, you know, they're going to have a few more easy games coming their way. They got the Knicks coming. So, you know, now they hit another win. They do have a tough game against the Pelicans on the 12th, but you know, is any game tough for the Raptors right now? Kawhi was quoted as saying that they haven't even reached their ceiling yet, which, you know, you expect a player to say that, but Kawhi's been sitting a lot so far early in the season. You know, he said he's hoping to get some more playing time and he's not going to need so much rest. He's still learning the offense some, but as he becomes more comfortable with that, you know, hopefully Kyle Lowry can get some more rest. Kyle's been playing a lot of minutes right now, which could be part of the reason we're seeing the Raptors be so successful, because Kyle Lowry's playing on a whole nother level. But Kawhi said, you know, this isn't even the best us. And if this isn't even the best Raptors teams, not just the Eastern Conference, but the entire NBA should just be afraid, because they are playing ridiculously well right now. They've just won game after game after game, 5-game winning streak. They're 9-1. They've only lost one game against the Bucks, which, as we know, Kawhi Leonard sat out. They're number one in the East. This Raps team is scary. Scary. It's going to be exciting to see what happens with them, though, this season. It'd be fun to see them play against the Pelicans. Pelicans, huge in the paint game. Going to see, you know, that matchup with Anthony Davis. I don't think the Raptors really need to be worried about, you know, post-play coming into the finals. I think it's going to come down to them and Golden State, and I'm honestly just waiting for that matchup. I don't care about LA and Golden State. I don't care about Milwaukee and Golden State. I don't care about Golden State and Utah. I just want to see Toronto and Golden State play a season game and see how that goes. I think that's going to be potentially the finals preview. If the playoffs were to happen today, which wouldn't that be amazing after 12 games? Toronto would play Detroit, and then they'd probably play, like, can Toronto beat Boston? Yes, and I think that's what it's going to come down to in the Eastern Conference Finals, Toronto and Boston. And then I think in the West, we're going to see Golden State and Denver, and it's going to be exciting to see a new team in the finals this year in Toronto. Possibly Boston, possibly Milwaukee, but I'm going with Toronto as the early pick. Who knows what will happen? Let's just, fingers crossed, that everyone stays healthy on every team. We don't have any big injuries or anything like that this season, because that would just be awful if, you know, Kawhi went down or Kyle went down or, you know, Steph went down, something like that for the Warriors. And tonight, got some good games coming up in the NBA, specifically Houston and OKC. It's always fun to see James Harden and Russell Westbrook, previous teammates, play each other, Boston and Phoenix. We got Boston running all over Phoenix. And then a highlight, you know, Milwaukee and Golden State. That's a potential, you know, finals matchup. Milwaukee, they've been playing a great brand of basketball this year. Golden State, as they have for the past, what seems like forever. In recent history, they've been playing really well. 10-1, Milwaukee 8-2. We're definitely going to talk about everything that happens in the NBA on the NBA podcast. Probably moving the podcast from daily to every other day. So if you don't see us on tomorrow, check us out on the weekend. We'll be there talking about all the NBA action. Enjoy the NBA.